Hey guys, welcome back to a brand new episode. Today I have a real treat for you. It's probably one of my most favorite episodes for the professional patient series that I've recorded so far because it's really hard to find somebody that has gone through being misdiagnosed not once but multiple times, going through the trauma, going through the grief, going through all the doctors, the records, being your own advocate while running a business on the internet and sharing it all. Justine has done just that. And so you're going to hear in this epic conversation everything that she's gone through up until now, from childhood until now, which is insane and really eye-opening. I took my own notes. And you'll hear why. And I just want to give you a little background on Justine. She's actually a licensed professional counselor. And for over 7 years, she's been certified in the work of Dr. Brené Brown. We all know who that is. And she also has over 20 years of experience in traditional mental health and personal growth. Justine is the author of 3 best-selling books and was also honored to do TEDx talks at TEDx UM Dearborn and TEDx La Sierra University. Now, before this pandemic hit, she was traveling nationally, delivering keynotes, doing workshops in multiple trainings on topics such as leadership, courage, resilience, and much, much more. Justine lives in St. Louis with her husband, Chad, their 3 dogs, and for 4 months out of the year, hundreds of monarch butterflies. So I invite you to listen to this episode in full. It's a little bit long, but it's so well worth it. And if you are a fan of patient advocacy, you are going to want to tune in. So make sure you follow and keep in touch with Justine. All of her links will be in the show notes to see what she has coming up next. Welcome to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. I'm your host, Kellyanne Gorman. Over the past 20 years, I've worked in beauty, luxury, corporate, and service-driven industries. I created the opportunity in these careers and in my own businesses that allowed me to travel the world, experience once-in-a-lifetime events, and build brands while providing my expertise to clients all around the globe. Life is short, and when you're given a second chance, you better believe I'm going to take it, celebrate it, and share it with you. This show is intended to elevate your mind, upgrade your business, enhance your life, and become part of a positive and uplifting community. If you are ready to take your business and life to that next level you deserve to be at, this is the show for you. Inspiration, motivation, and determination are what got me to where I am today. Tune in every week to hear from myself, other entrepreneurs, professional patients, small business owners, and fellow podcasters who will be featured on the show. I'm here to remind you to work hard, share your story, follow your dreams, and never, ever give up. Thanks for taking the time to subscribe to the Happy Workaholic Podcast. Today's episode starts now. Hi, Justine. How are you? Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I know, you guys. We were just talking for a little bit with the camera on, and we're like, this is a podcast, camera off. The joys of working from home. Especially during this time. So I'm so glad you're taking time out of your really busy day and coming on for the Professional Patient Series. And as a fellow entrepreneur, sharing your health story is sometimes hard. And I created this series specifically so that I could give a platform to others to be able to share their health struggles, their journey, the path they're on now to healing, and what's really going on. Because I really believe that the more of us that share our health story and the situations in the past that led us to get to this point of maybe healing now or looking for maybe still a diagnosis, the more information and content is available for more patients. So I appreciate you taking the time out of your day and coming on. And let's just dive right in. The big question, like, I want to learn about your health journey. I know we mentioned a little bit that it started in high school. I'm like, let's start there. So
I have a wild story, and you know, a lot of people know about my current health struggle or my health transformation. And what I know and how I know myself, like especially, I know that it's all related, right? Like it's all related to my whole entire life. I don't think people give that enough credit. Like your past, your traumas, your losses, your tragedies, the hard parts of the stories that you tell yourself over and over and over, that influences our health to this day. And so like, I do think that the health journey for many people that they don't give enough credit to is like, it is like an onion. You have to peel back the layers and get to the true heart of you to really feel your best, right? And I think that includes a diagnosis, because how many people don't ever get a diagnosis because it they don't advocate for themselves, or they get so frustrated that they give up. And I'm a therapist by trade, so I feel really passionate about that. Like, how much of that is linked to our self-worth, right? And where we come from.
I definitely believe that, and especially when it comes to advocacy, and I preach this all the time, you know, you really need to be your own advocate, and you really need to get multiple opinions and not give up. Because, I mean, for me personally, I had 11 neurologists, and sometimes you just need to, you know, just keep fighting, but like take a break at the same time, because it is a lot and it is intense. But talk to us about how in high school, what happened to you there?
Yeah. So I grew up in a really small town back in Iowa. So like, I'm talking like no stoplight small town.
Oh my gosh. And
I was a dancer, like so small. I mean, I milked cows in high school. Like that was one of my jobs.
Oh my God.
Right. So, I mean, super small town, and I danced my whole life, and that was what I was going to do, right? I was going to go to college, I was going to go to University of Iowa, and be on the dance team, and study dance. And around age 11, probably around age 10, I started to have pretty debilitating pain. And it was more concentrated in my hips, maybe down my legs a little bit. And we embarked on this journey, my parents and I, my sister included, because she was definitely part of this traumatic event of our entire lives. But so we embarked on this journey to try to find this diagnosis and what was going on with me, because no one could find what was wrong. And so from the ages of 11 to 13, I was misdiagnosed. My first misdiagnosis was actually how I became a therapist. They misdiagnosed me back then in that would have been like 1990, I guess. Back then, they called it conversion hysteria. So basically, psychosomatic, my brain was making up the pain. There was nothing really physically wrong with me. And that was at one of the most world-renowned hospitals in the country, in the world, really. And at that point, I could hardly walk. And they put me through some of the worst tests to this day that I will always remember, were some of the most painful tests I've been through. And I've been through a lot of tests. And they said, nope, nothing's wrong with you. Your mom is making you dance. And they made me go see a sports psychologist. And that's how I became a therapist. Because I remember, like, thinking, huh, what she does is pretty cool. Like, I'm going to file that away. I won't need it because I'm going to go be a dancer, right? Well, and she had told me, she was like, you don't meet this criteria. So I'm just going to teach you how to move your pain out of your body so you can continue to do what you love, which is dance. So I did, and I danced through the pain. And then that next misdiagnosis was a tumor, which was quickly counted out. And then in probably 93-ish was when I was misdiagnosed with fibromyalgia, which we know a lot more about fibromyalgia now. Back then, it was not a diagnosis, not for a 12-year-old, right? And it was so new. And so, but what I know is that it was the diagnosis that really probably saved our lives, especially my life. And so there's a specialist of fibromyalgia on this, like, I don't know, nationwide tour. And she happened to be coming to a city near us in my small town. And somehow we got an appointment.
It took
4 hours to go through my charts. And she walked out after 4 hours, and she had an x-ray in her hand, and she said, spondylosis and spondylolisthesis. Have you ever heard of those terms? And we were all like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. And she goes, they're all over your charts. And we said, what is it? She goes, you have a broken back on L5, grade 4 slippage, the worst slip, the worst grade and that is possible. You need to have surgery immediately. She goes, it's right here on a year old x-ray from a chiropractor.
Oh my God.
Right. And so I'm really, especially my current health journey that I've been on, I'm really big on a lie took root in me right then and there. A lie took root in me when I was told that I was crazy. Like, no one sees you. No one can help you. No one believes you, just like that you'll never, ever be seen, right? Like, and these lies, like, also, like, I can never trust anybody to help me. I got to figure this out on my own. And so I had 2 weeks later, we were sent to, and it was only 2 weeks later because I donated my own blood to myself for the blood transfusions. I don't know why that was. It's a good question.
Oh my God.
But I needed surgery immediately, but they wanted me to donate my own blood. And so 2 weeks later, University of Iowa Hospitals, Dr. Stuart Weinstein,
yeah.
He had the most attractive resident ever. Especially as a 13-year-old, I had such a crush on him. But Stuart Weinstein, even at that time, he had the whitest of white hair. And his specialty was spine surgery. And I was always the most able-bodied person. And he really had a huge specialty with cerebral palsy. My cousin, Brookie, actually saw him for all of her surgeries. And so I had my first surgery. And back then, in 1994, they don't have what we have now. We didn't know what we know now. And so they did surgery. They fused L5 to S1. I was in a hospital bed, not able to move for 8 full days. And then they put me in a full body cast.
How old were you again?
That would have been my summer before my freshman year of high school.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine going through that. Especially because it was so long ago. Now it's right. I mean, 4 hours.
Right.
4 hours to go through your paperwork.
And they don't, there's no body cast anymore. It would be titanium and you'd be up and walking right away. But
I know, that's so crazy.
We didn't know the power of physical therapy. We didn't know the power of getting patients up out of bed immediately. If you think about any surgery that you have nowadays, you're up out of bed. Because we know that the body needs that for most procedures. And so my freshman year of high school, a body cast from chin to knees for 6 months. And then 3 years later, we discovered that I was the 10% that it did not take. And we had to repeat it.
Oh my God. And how long after the first one was that?
So first surgery was freshman year of high school. Second surgery was my senior year of high school, and I was put in a body brace this time. So it wasn't a plaster cast, but it still was from my chin to my knees. I couldn't bend at the waist for another 6 months. So, I know that that trauma lives, right? And the scar tissue alone lives. Right?
Yeah.
That scar tissue back lives on. And so I always lived a pretty healthy lifestyle because when I don't, my back hurts. And there was years ago, they did talk about redoing the surgery to put the titanium in, but they would have to go through the front. And I was like, okay, no, before I make that huge decision, I started seeking just alternative therapies. I went to a hardcore physical therapist back then. And I still to this day stretch 3 times a day to keep my back kind of loose. Mm-hmm. And I maintain my weight and try to keep my core as strong as possible. But those back surgeries, it's trauma and it lives in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it directly led to my infertility journey. And so my husband and I, when we met, we really met not thinking that we wanted to have kids because I didn't think it was possible. I knew it wasn't possible in backs. I mean, I had been misdiagnosed from the ages of 11 to 13, and I had hundreds of x-rays, MRIs, CAT scans, tests, cameras in my hip joints, all on my lower back pelvis area, all unshielded. And so because denial feels safer than disappointment, mm-hmm. I had convinced myself I didn't want to be a mom. And I don't know, call it biology or you meet your person, and it was kind of like, oh no, crap, I want to be a mom.
Oh my God.
And so we're coming up on our 8 years, actually, post-IVF treatments. And so 8 years ago, we did an IVF journey with a gestational surrogate. We lost 3 babies. It never worked because we never had good numbers. And I know that that's a direct result of mm-hmm. my back surgery, even though you would never, ever get a doctor to agree with me on that.
Of course not.
Never. And so it was that piece of and Kelly, I know that you even reached out to me because of my Facebook post of this eosinophilic esophagitis, which is, it's not technically out autoimmune disorder yet, but there's talk that it will be any day. And unfortunately, it is just getting more and more common. But that was my most recent diagnosis and recovery. And I know it's related to all of those things because all of those stressors and also just like who I am as a person. Like I'm a natural, determined, hardworking, striving, care what people think person. Even though the work that I teach every day is courage and authenticity, I teach it because I need it also for myself, right? Like, and so after all of these two major traumatic things, what really got me the most recent, I was like the healthiest I've ever been. I had lost 39 pounds after infertility treatments. I looked like a completely different person. And that was all through like self-care and meditation and supplementation and exercise and just actually starting to like myself and, oh my gosh, accept and love myself. And then the hustle got me, and that's what triggered the eosinophilic esophagitis.
Oh my God. Now let me ask you something. You know, I never really started researching this or believing this until really when I learned that I was misdiagnosed, like when that talk began, that I really started researching like trauma and past situations and like how that affects your body and your mental health and disease. Disease yeah. is full of trauma and things that have happened even like in real life or just in your body, period. And it just goes to show you with what you've gone through. But I didn't even start doing that research until, I don't even know, a year and a half ago. But if diseases and things that happen to our bodies are, you know, trauma-based, and then going through that process is, I mean, I have PTSD like you wouldn't believe from going through my situation. And you have a disease based on trauma and something that's happened, but then you have more trauma because now you have that illness or disease or whatever you're going through. So besides meditation, like what do you do to heal yourself from that? Like the trauma, like I meditate, I have my morning ritual, you know, I journal, all that. But what are some of the things that you do to help you on the mental side? Because people don't realize how intense it really is when you go through something.
I know it is. And that's such a great point. So much of our disease is caused by trauma. And then so much of our journey to get diagnosed properly, to find a team that is working well with us, to find the thing that actually works and then treat it, that also in of itself can create so much trauma. Like,
yeah.
It's just so difficult. And like one of the biggest things, I am a huge advocate for, yes, it's self-care. However, the way I describe self-care is choosing the behaviors of self-love and the action of self-care. Because most of us did not grow up in homes where we were taught to love ourselves. We sure as hell were probably not raised in a home where we saw a parental figure taking care of themselves. And so what we know now, though, is that you have to take care of yourself first. If you are going to give anything to this world, to your own family, you have to fill your well up first. You cannot give from an empty well. And so I believe in that. Like, I do believe that most of us are creatures of habit and routine. That's why 2020 is just
effing brutal. Like, yep. I mean, oh, you can, I mean, swear here.
Like, people trying to go back to work, and it's like, go back to work when you all can go back to work. Like, never, no one's giving enough credit to how much routine helps our sanity and well-being. Right. And like, and if we just keep changing things up willy nilly, it can cause a lot of harm for a lot of people. Yes. For some of us are more rigid than others. However, I mean, like we do, most people thrive off of routine and structure. And so I really do believe in like that nighttime routine and the morning routine, and to start with a nighttime routine, because most people are not getting good enough sleep, let alone enough sleep. Mm-hmm. And so to do a nighttime routine to truly wind down your brain and your heart for sleep will then hopefully get you better rest. And then your butt can get up for a morning routine, right? Like, But to ask somebody to jump in with a full 30-minute morning routine or 2-hour morning routine right off the bat, we're setting people up for failure. And so I always tell people, like, 3 to 5 things. I'm talking 15 minutes every night before bed. It does not include technology. I don't care how much our stress and anxiety and sadness and grief want it to. It cannot. And I, that is one of my biggest pieces that I struggle with. Like, one of my tells that I am numbing, avoiding, and escaping my life is that I am scrolling freaking social media in bed.
Oh, my God. Number one
rule. It's like, it's not helpful. It's not good. And so that's my tell that I'm off track, right? Like, so I do really, really believe in that self-care, like, and including things like reading and writing and music, breathing, meditation, prayer, creativity in some way, whether or not that's freaking making friendship bracelets or coloring or gardening or whatever. But I do think creativity needs to be in there every day. And so it's being able to also, when you fall off track, because you will, you'll get sick, you'll have a hard day, mm-hmm. work will be crazy, a child will get sick. We give ourselves permission with lots of grace to struggle and fall off track. And in that very next breath, you begin again with accountability. Because so many of us just say, well, I'm already off track. I'll just start on Monday. Oh, no, I'm already off track. I'll just start on the first of the month. No, just begin again tomorrow with 5 minutes. It doesn't need to be the be-all, end-all routine. It can just be one of the things, 5 minutes. And then 2 weeks later, add another thing. And then 2 weeks later, add another thing. And now you've got this like beautiful routine that your brain and your heart and your soul know that they can rely on and get filled up with before you try to serve the world with your gifts. I also, though, I really do believe in some, especially when it comes to this trauma, because grief is a significant trauma for a lot of people, and I believe most people are living in grief because whose life has turned out the way they hoped to and planned. So for me, it's this twofold thing, too, of like, it is the self-care, obviously, and the self-care, self-love, and the action of self-care. It's also in truly doing the work to own all the parts of your story, to stop buying into the lies that you have contracted with, that you've been held down by through your traumas, losses, and tragedies, and for you to truly know what your truth is. And like for me, that I believe in Jesus, and so that's one of my things, but I also like freaking love Louise Hayes. Like, I'll read her book too and be like, oh my God, my left shoulder's hurting. What is that? Like, where do I need to, what affirmation do I need to say out loud? And then I've done a lot of meditations where I hand stuff over to Jesus and I'm like, take it. I need you to heal it. I don't want it anymore. I can't hold on to this. Like, peel this away. Remind me of what my truth is. And whether or not, I don't care what your beliefs are, our truths are that we are lovable, that we are enough, that we are okay, that we deserve to be well and happy. There's your truths. How do you do the work to get back to believing those truths, no matter what your body is doing, no matter what's in your life, but to know that those are your truths?
I really appreciate you saying that because it's really hard. I mean, for example, my story in the beginning of the show, my intro, this show started off as a show about business, LinkedIn, and my life with an autoimmune disease. And I shared everything since day one. But then when I found out last year I was misdiagnosed, like, I don't want to tell that story anymore. And unless you live something traumatic, you really don't understand how hard it is to switch your beliefs, switch your story, and like you personally believe it. And I'm like, did I really go through that? Like sometimes when I'm interviewed, I feel like I'm telling somebody else's story, like it's not real. And the part that you said about self-care being an action, I love that because so much self-care, I feel like, should be focused on your mind and your brain. I can't even tell you, I'm sure you have, when you start researching the brain and how it works and the trauma and the healing and all of that, like Dr. Joe Dispenza and Doc Amon and all these other infamous doctors. And it starts with the brain when it comes to the healing process, I really do believe. And then it is an action of self-care, but the more self-care should be spent healing with your mind and your thoughts and your story and then going to take a bubble bath, then doing a sound bath, which, by the way, I'm obsessed with sound baths lately, then do the meditation.
I love those. It's so powerful. It includes visualization too.
Right? Oh yeah.
Healthy cells coming into, like, all of those things. Like, I think we have to be careful of being only one option, one way, one thing.
Yeah.
It might need to be that for a little while. And at the same time, like, life is really messy. Our bodies are miraculous, and they are actually supposed to work for us, not against us. And so that's probably going to require a lot of different things. And so what keeps so many people from kind of walking into the path of their well-being is that they get so overwhelmed with all the options. And I want to tell people, like, choose one, choose one for today, right? Mm-hmm. Choose one, go all in. Like, I mean, go all in with it. And if it doesn't feel like it's working or it's really, really, really hard, you still need to stick with it for a little bit, because discomfort is the only place that we grow and that we really figure out what works and what doesn't work. And then, like, if it really is not working, okay, then you turn. Then you choose something different, or you add something different.
I keep having this visualization of riding a bike as a child, and it's literally the same thing. And I think the number one piece of advice I would give somebody that's trying to heal is you have to be patient, because I am not. I'm extremely routine and scheduled. And if something comes my way and throws me off, I'm not gonna, like, I get pissed. I was like, my day was already planned perfectly. Why is this happening? And it's the same thing with your body. Like, I thought it was good. Why am I still sick? Why does this new person say I have something else now? It's like, you need to expect to get things thrown your way and be thrown for a loop. And then you have to do the same when it comes to healing. It's not overnight. And then I really love that you just keep saying, like, try again now. You know, if you're riding a bike as a child, you're not going to wait for the next week to try again. You're not going to wait till the next month. You're like, you're going to get right back on. And I feel like that's like the best analogy.
Yep. I love that. It's so true.
So what's going on with your health right now? Like, where are you at? How are you feeling? So, more importantly,
I just got so much freedom back, which is such a gift.
Yeah.
I'm probably at 3 years ago that I was on tour doing my workshops and intensives across the country. I did 8 cities, and I was in my first stop in Boise, Idaho, land of the nicest people in all the land. Seriously.
I've never been in that area of the country, but I still have my road trip on my bucket list. So
I absolutely love Boise. And so I was there, and I was doing a 2-day workshop and then a day and a half intensive. And I would just pretty much stayed in the downtown area. And, like, I found this, my second TED Talk is about this story. It was just too good a story not to write a great TED Talk on it. But there was this, like, vegan donut shop that was, like, really famous, which I'm not a vegan.
Oh, my God.
Basically, their wild berry vegan donut was, like, phenomenal. And so I, like, literally saved that donut for, like, that, where, like, I didn't have anything until the next. I was like, I can't have a sugar crash, because, like, teaching the work that I teach is not easy work to teach. Teaching courage takes a lot out of you. And so I got, like, my vegan donut, and I also got, like, an awesome freaking Butterfinger one. But, like,
oh my God, yum. Like, you're making me hungry.
It was this very, very busy donut shop, and like 100 people in it. And I sat down, I had my donut, my water, and a couple bites in, my eyes blacked out a couple times, and then water started coming out of my nose, and then that's when I realized I could not breathe.
Oh my God.
And I had to get up and use a universal choking sign, even though I knew, like, the Heimlich, which Anthony, one of the employees, like, jumped over the counter to give me the Heimlich, which it did not end up doing, because I knew it. I also knew it wouldn't work. It was not stuck in my throat. It was stuck in my chest. And so I threw up in front of everybody. I didn't die, obviously. And so,
like, thank God.
And a hilarious story, but it was my first episode like that. And so, you know, we did the incident report. The TED Talk is, I told, like, a funny story about, like, how, like, literally, like, I can't breathe. My brain is telling me that I can't, that I'm going to die. And I'm worried about not peeing my pants. I'm worried about work. Like, I'm thinking, like, there's no way I can go in the ambulance today. Like, or I cannot let him break my ribs. Like, I have to work the next day and a half. And then also, like, I was also thinking to myself, like, I will not fucking meet Jesus by way of vegan donut, even
yeah.
if it was the best I ever had. Like, I will not, that will not be how I go down. I'm not being taken out by a vegan donut. And so, and then I asked Anthony, he had to ask me, like, what were you thinking? So I told him, I was like, super honest, because that's who I am. And I was like, well, what were you thinking? And he goes, I was really excited to use my lifeguarding skills from high school.
Oh my God.
And so, like, that, I mean, there was a great lesson in that, right? Like, we're just all so wrapped up in our own stuff.
Of like, course.
Anyway, take nothing personally. But that was, like, my first, like, thing of, like, okay, that was weird. That was kind of a fluke, whatever. And I have been told that, like, oh, our family has small esophaguses, blah, 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 whatever. Okay, whatever. Well, then a year later, when I was again out of town for a speaking engagement, it happened again. Only this time, the episode lasted for 20 minutes. So I had food in my esophagus, and I could not breathe. And then once I got breath back in, I could not keep any water down for over 20 minutes. And so that's when I finally went and got the endoscopy. And that's when I was diagnosed with eosinophilic esophagitis, which is basically when the esophagus is coated with white blood cells, and it creates choking episodes. The scary part, though, is that in advanced stages, it can lead to esophageal cancer for some people, not all people. The hardest part, though, is in advanced stages, it can cause, like, you have to go to the ER to get scoped because food will get impacted. Or your like, esophagus will just kind of be like, nope, not doing it, and it will just clamp down. So it's, and I tried really hard. I, like, when I got the diagnosis, I was like, okay, so what do we need to do? That was with the GI doctor. And she goes, oh, you're going to take Prilosec. And,
oh, my God. And, I can't even tell you how many times.
I know. And I, like, and at this point, I had already been on my health journey, like, down 39 pounds, like, been gluten-free for 5 years, pretty much dairy-free, not totally, but I would say probably 90% dairy-free. Only drink red wine for alcohol. Like, I've been on Plexus, the supplements I have taken for years, for a long time. And so she was like, Prilosec and Flonase. And I said,
can I just ask, like, what's the commission on those two? Because I can't even tell you how many friends and myself, they always give us the same two. I'm like, that must be the highest rank.
That's so true. Like, what's the kickback?
What is your kickback?
Right. And, like, I said to her, I go, what would we be looking for? Like, I don't have heartburn.
Yeah.
Not anymore. I used to have heartburn terribly, but not in 5 years since I got my health under control. And I don't have known allergies, like maybe a little sneezy in the spring here in St. Louis. Like, that's it. And she goes, well, it's there because your esophagus is deteriorating. So that's what you need to take. And I was like,
oh my God, that makes no sense.
Yeah. And so, like, and I said, I go, but what is the, okay, if you're going to tell me that I'm having heartburn and allergies without having any outside symptoms, and remember, I'm one of the most annoying patients you'll ever have. I am very in touch with my body. I know exactly what is happening in it all of the time, even more so now after this whole journey. And so I was like, what's the root cause? And she goes, well, you just need to take the meds. And so, and I, that was not good enough for me. I've understood enough about the body at this point that
yeah.
that's when I found a functional medicine doctor here in St. Louis that I started working with, which is, well, it's more than a blessing and lucky. It's just a freaking privilege to be able to afford that. And I'm so thankful to my husband's job that I could afford to see a functional medicine doctor because it's expensive
and yeah.
difficult. And I don't understand why it's not accessible to more people, because in 17 months and multiple pieces, I have not had symptoms in a long time. I had major food sensitivities. I cut them out for 17 months. Not one of them showed up on retest. I'm back to a full diet. If I wanted, I'll still not. I'm not going to do gluten, but just because we live in America, we screwed it up too much. And so, like, when I go to Italy one day, I'm going to eat the crap out of some freaking pasta.
Though. Oh my God, we did. well, now we have 100 options for gluten-free everything.
I know. And so, like, but I, it was this, it was, it's been almost 2 year journey of parasite treatment, multiple dental treatments, bacterial overgrowth in my gut, despite having some of the best gut health ever. That's one of the biggest reasons I am so healthy. And so, like, it has been one of those things, all of these pieces, like, to get my body to heal itself and for me, again, to strip another layer off and to admit to myself that the hustle, especially the numbers, the followers, the success by the world's definition, had nearly killed me. I know that that's what triggered the eosinophilic esophagitis. And so, and it's something that, like, I'll have on my radar for the rest of my life. I will never go back to where I was, though. I know that.
It's so hard to even, like, once you go through the healing process and then, you know, you have this whole mindset. And then if something triggers you, you then have a second thought, like, do I really want to go back there? There's a test. I'm sure you've taken it and I can't remember. It's about $3,500. No insurance covers it. And it will show you toxins, if you have mold, Lyme, parasites, like everything. It's only, you can only have access to it with a functional doctor.
See, that's, I have not gone down the route of like official mold exposure, which I know, I do know, like, when the mold,
you just know once you go through this, you could feel it.
Yeah. Like, I can feel that my esophagus is a little tricky when the mold counts high outside, right? And so, like, I know, like, if we stay in a hotel, I always take my oils because, especially if it's a
mold, me too,
mold hotel, it has mold, right? And I know that my breathing and my mucus will be higher and my esophagus will be a little bit triggered. So, like, but I also have not gone, so I haven't gone down the route of, like, official mold testing. And I have not gone down the route of, like, metals. Cause I know that for some people, that's something that I think a lot of people do need to explore if they have really done food cleanup and, gut health and parasite treatment. That might be something that a lot of people need to do. One of the best things that I did, which was not easy for multiple reasons, is I had the dental cavitation surgery, which is very controversial and most dentists do not believe in it. And it was the best decision I ever made.
And what is that? Because I've had my whole mouth redone because all the silver's out, everything.
Yep. So I think that's where a lot of people start. Like, I started with the silver, right? I had two, well, and what sold me on the silver is when you go look at that interactive tooth map, and I was like, huh, the two teeth that I have silver in directly linked to soft tissue, esophagus, and lung problems. Oh, and one, right shoulder pain. I've had a right shoulder impingement for years. I got the silver removed.
That's
by
insane.
Dr. Wayne, and it was literally gone. The shoulder pain was, like, I mean, it's miraculous. So when he had saw me for the silver, he goes, with the esophagus stuff, I want to look for cavitations. I was like, okay, what's that? I don't even know. So when you have a tooth pulled, which most Americans have had their wisdom teeth pulled, in the least, I've also had two molars pulled. When you have a tooth pulled, the bone is supposed to fill in and heal. Sometimes that does not happen for lots of different reasons, and a cavitation remains, basically a hole in, like, the jawbone where your tooth roots were, right? And where there is a hole in a living body, especially your mouth, lots of disgusting things can happen there. Necrotic tissue, bacteria, parasites, things like that. And so he claimed that I had two cavitations. I was super, like, everyone I talked to, I couldn't find really good research on it. I had multiple people reach out to me, like, that's a scam. That can't even be a thing. My dentist took her own scan. She was like, you don't have those, blah, 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 blah. Well, then my functional medicine doctor, she had a baby, had to go on maternity leave. So I had to see one of her other doctors for one of my check-ins. And he disagreed with her on H. pylori. He was like, Justine, I know she wants to get rid of your H. pylori completely. And he goes, I don't know if that's possible. Like, he goes, you have dogs and you travel and eat out. He goes, so many of us, you're just going to pick up H. pylori. I think we have to focus more on making sure that your belly kills it off better, which is, like, just changing up some of the supplements that we do once in a while. I was like, okay. So then I was like, all right, so you don't agree with her completely on the H. pylori. What's your opinion on cavitations? Because my doctor had kind of been like, let's conquer all of these other things first, because I'm not sure I can find enough on cavitations yet. I was like, okay, fine. Well, then the doctor that was subbing in for her, he goes, wait, do you have cavitations? I go, Dr. Ramey says I do. And he goes, 100% you have to get that surgery. So I called Dr. Ramey back and I said, would you please meet with my husband and I, show us the scans, go over the surgery again, how much it really costs, just to kind of ease our minds. And he was just phenomenal. I love Dr. I cannot, anybody needs a biological dentist. Like, he has people that travels in St. Louis all the time just to see me. I cannot speak more highly about him and his office. But so he showed me the two cavitations. I had my surgery, which everything that a biological dentist does, I feel like, is so traumatic, even though it doesn't take very long. Like, I mean, even getting the silver removed was so traumatic because, like, I mean, they're literally removing mercury from your mouth and they're in hazmat suits and you have this, like, dental dam on, and it's like, doesn't last very long, but it's so hard to get your brain to stop being anxious, right?
I did it in 2 visits, each side of my mouth.
Did you? Yeah. I had to, too, because they won't cross the midline. So I had to do 2 visits for that also. But the cavitations doesn't have to be that. So the cavitation, they basically, they cut into the bone, the gum, they drill into the bone, they hit the cavity.
Ugh.
Like, it's horrific. They clean it out. It's awful, awful, awful. And obviously, you can pay extra for the biopsies. So we biopsied the one that looked worse for me just to save some money. He was like, I really only think we need to biopsy one. I don't think we need to biopsy both, because it was $400 to biopsy.
Oh my God.
And so he biopsied the one and I got my report back and I had severe levels of, I think, 10 of the 13 bacteria and parasites in the lymphatic tissues that they test for.
Oh my God. That just goes to show you, like, there's so many dentists now. I love that we're talking about this because I've seen so many Instagrams where the dentist is posting disease that starts from the mouth.
Yes.
And your dental health. And I have a client that is a hygienist, and we were talking about this the other day. And it's insane. Like, when I got all the silver out, and because from chemo, it, like, destroyed my teeth and all the drugs. So I always tell this story. It's so funny. When I went to see my dentist, who's amazing here in San Diego, she said, you have cotton mouth. Oh no. She said, you have dry mouth. And I'm like, what the hell is that? I'm thinking, you know, cotton mouth from when you smoke. And I'm like, but I don't smoke. So I'm like, dry mouth? What is that? She's like, you have no saliva. How do you not realize this? Well, I'm on 12 prescription medications. How am I supposed to realize it? I was
That's
numb.
Probably the number one side effect of all of them.
Yeah. And I had no idea because I was so doped up all the time. So then it came to my dental appointments, and then she gave me the, like, $50, $60 mouthwash, toothpaste, all that. And then the best part of this story is, I'll never forget, I was sitting in my kitchen recording a podcast and I couldn't stop drooling. So I'm like, oh, I think it's back. I literally had to sit there, and then it was like I overdosed. So now I have saliva back, and you could hear it on my mic. And I had to keep tissue next to my mouth and, like take the, like, dab my tongue, like, every other sentence.
Oh my God, your mouth is like, man, we're back on. Let's do this.
It was the funniest thing. And that's when I realized I had feeling again, because I had just started coming off all these meds I was on. And when I had gone there, she wanted to, I mean, nobody wants to go to the dentist, period. I'm fine as long as you know, put enough numbing stuff in there. But of course, you're still going to get anxious. I mean, I redid my whole mouth, and the only thing I have left is 2 implants, and that I'm going to go under, but I'm so petrified. And when I was there for my appointments for redoing and redoing all the teeth and then taking out all the silver, she said, okay, we can break it up to, like, 4 to 6 appointments. I'm like, why can't you just do half and half? Like, just bang it out. I'll be here 4 hours. It's fine. I'll mentally prepare myself only twice. Thank you. And then that's how it went.
Oh my gosh.
But I haven't gone to the level. I wish I could remember the name of this test, but right now, so it's been about 1.5 years. I started, it was February. So yeah, oh my God, this is, time is just flying. Almost 1.5 years where I'm no longer on any medications and things like that. So I wanted to give myself, honestly, I thought I'd be doing it around now. So hopefully maybe in the fall. Right now, my way of healing my body is like all the fruits and veggies and all of that, like my holistic approach. But now I think the next step for me personally is to focus more on the dental health. I really want to get that test done because I want to see what's left, because I'm trying to do it myself first. But the parasites and the dental and all of that, like it all just, once you start talking about brain health and dental health and autoimmune and trauma, it's all one big ball of just, it's all connected.
All connected. Right. I know. Like, and when I got the last round of the food sensitivity test back, and it was like, literally my functional medicine doctor was like, Justine, like, this is why people, doctors like me do what we do. Like, this is, you did the supplements, you did the disciplined diet, you did the prayer, you did the meditation, like you're doing it. And this is concrete evidence that your body is healing itself, that it is, I mean, in some aspect healed. And she goes, and I will say, like, you choosing to just listen to your gut and invest in that dental cavitation surgery was one of the best decisions that you made. She goes, to have that report that shows us that over 13 things were sitting in your bone since the age of 21, right next to your esophagus, which is what your body was attacking, that it means your esophagus is only going to continue to get better. And so she's like, you just, and then she go, and she said, I just really need you to hear me, that you will never be as sick as you were. And you were sick in this really weird, nuanced way. And she would tell me that all the time. She's like, you really should be much sicker. Like, you've had parasites probably your whole life. You've had H. pylori your whole life. You've had these dental things, your like almost, over half of your life, three quarters of your life. And yet, because of the choices that you make, supplementation, diet, self-care, all of these things, it's attacking your esophagus. And I also, and I don't doubt for one second that the fact that it attacked my esophagus is not tied to my own work that I had to do in my identity.
Yeah.
Because I'm a speaker and corporate trainer for a living. And it goes all the way back to when I was 11 years old at freaking Mayo Clinic, where they told me I was crazy. Your voice does not matter. No one will ever hear you or listen to you. You don't matter unless you're speaking and making money and are successful, right? So like, it's all connected. I have to continue to surrender that, to know that I'm worthy, even if I'm not working, even if I'm not speaking on big stages. Like, even if my esophagus deteriorates one day, which it will not, because I also believe in the power of those words, I am still enough.
Mm-hmm. You are. And so is everybody else that's going through it. But the one thing I would say is you have to put in the work. You're not going to heal mentally, physically, or emotionally if you don't put in just as much work in yourself as you do with your business. And I know that firsthand because I didn't. But now I do. I time block, I'm scheduled, I'm extremely routined. I, you know, forget what show I was on where I was sharing my, and yesterday I did a Facebook Live in somebody else's group. And I was talking about being scheduled and routine and having these systems in place. You need to do it for yourself just as much as your business. And that's the only way, I think, by putting in the work for you emotionally and mentally first. It's just so, so important.
It is. It's all connected.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your story.
Thank you. I don't like, I mean, I do a lot of podcast interviews, but not necessarily about this part of my life. So I love it. So I'm just like so excited for the work that you're doing. This is amazing.
Oh, thank you for saying that. And I want to have you, we need to have you back on for the show where we talk all about business, because you're an incredible speaker. And I know you've mentioned it a couple times, but you know, I think it's so important when we have a following and we have a platform on the internet, by sharing part of our story, even just a part, I know you've shared almost all of it or all of it just as much as I have. There's someone out there, just one person, that's going to hear this conversation that we had today, and it's going to make them think. I mean, I've been taking notes about the dental, because that's my next step of healing everything and getting these tests done and everything. it's already affected me. So whoever listens to our conversation that we just had, it's going to help them, and then it's going to help somebody else. So it's all a trickle effect. And I'm just so grateful that you came on and took time out of your day and shared your story, because now we can help more people.
Yes. I love it. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
Of course. Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Sounds good.
Your time is so valuable, and I really appreciate you carving out a little piece of your day to listen to today's episode. If you liked this one, please share it with someone who you feel needs to hear this message. And don't forget to tag me at The Happy Workaholic on Facebook and Instagram so I can feature you on my stories. Listening on Apple Podcasts? I would love it if you would leave me a review on today's show. Your input means so much and also helps me create more of the content you'll love. Want to continue today's conversation? You can join us in the Happy Workaholic Network Facebook group. Simply answer the questions and you're in. For more information on myself and to get the latest in business, LinkedIn, organizing, and podcasting news, sign up to receive my weekly newsletter at thehappyworkaholic.com. I hope that your day continues to be happy, healthy, positive, and productive, and I'll talk to you again soon.